This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey there, welcome to episode 644 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. Today's Cliff Notes summary expansion of conversations from this week is regarding Dr. Dimitri Kapalianis from the University of New Mexico. Of course, make sure to catch those three parts about authenticity, persuasion, the future of sales. Great conversation. I've enjoyed chatting with Dr. Dimitri every single time I've talked to him with the podcast, being kind of a culmination of conversations that didn't start with the podcast in mind. It actually started with me on my journey and realizing that schools have sales programs, and certain professors that I reached out to, because I reached out to a lot of them a couple of years ago, certain ones were actually open to conversations, one being Dr. Sterling Bone in Utah State University, who I'm working with now in the fall. We started it last year with my book and the students in the pro sales class. And then another one that just immediately comes to mind is Dr. Dimitri. And why I mention that and what's interesting about it is that it's kind of like business and sales and relationships in general. There's some people out there who are very open-minded. They're very open to talking to new people. They're open to finding out new ideas. They're curious about what people think or what they do or what they would suggest. And then there's a lot of closed-minded people. And I reached out to, again, a lot of professors where their response was, no, I'm not talking to you. Not even just like too busy and not responding, but I don't want to talk to you. You're a consultant. Go away, consultant guy. We don't talk to consultants. And then other ones, again, like Dr. Dimitri, was like, yeah, let's talk. Maybe you can help me. Maybe you have some insight. Maybe you have ideas. One of the things that facilitates that is part of his program, which is amazing, is that the students work in a call center environment. So part of their program and part of their course and one of the classes is them actually doing sales for a sponsor company client. And that company client is going to say, all right, we want you to call and set appointments or sell X, Y, and Z. Other schools do that with their internal things. And I think University of New Mexico does as well, which is, you know, is sometimes selling golf sponsorships, calling alumni, which is what University of New Mexico does as well. And so that kind of a campaign, give people in these programs some real world experience, not just role playing, not just scenarios, not just competitions, which are, you know, judged by a rubric, but real life scenarios. And so when talking to Dr. Dimitri the very first time, he was actually asking me lots of questions because he was curious about what I thought for running call centers and the technology and some tools. And I even recommended a tool for him to use as a phone platform that would work better for what he was doing. And he actually, you know, set up a demo and then ended up, you know, signing up for that and using it for his call center team. So the reason I mentioned this, you know, 3 minutes into the podcast is because when you're in a sales role, part of this is identifying people who are open enough to listen. My mentor, David Meltzer, says this all the time, is it is 1,000 times harder to find somebody who's got a closed mind and get them to open their mind than just working with somebody who's already got an open mind, right? 1,000 times harder. And you know that if you've ever done that. If you've ever done that in a personal relationship, if you've done that in a sales relationship, trying to get a job and you really want to go work for that company and they're very closed-minded, takes so much more effort than when somebody is open to it. Now, that's not saying that what you should do is look for easy opportunities and just close deals and become an order taker, but it all starts with open-minded people who are at least willing to talk and open and curious, and those traits that I talk about as my sales success traits, which are so important. And I think, and again, this is why I'm talking about this with him, and this recap is it's so important. When you're in a sales role, that's what you're looking for. I have another person who's in sales, Joe Peachy, and I was on a webinar with him, and we were two of the guests being spotlighted. And one of the people in the audience said, well, how do you do it? You make like 150 calls a day, every day. You know, what does that look like? What, you know, how do you just do that? And how do you handle it, right? Because it's so much. And his response, which still resonates to me, and I actually love it, is I'm looking for buyers. I'm not trying to convince people. I'm not trying to sell anything. I'm looking for buyers. Now, you've got to be careful too, because you don't want to play the numbers game and just, you know, scorch earth mode where you're making thousands of calls a day and sending millions of emails a month to find buyers, because that won't work. But when you're having interactions with people, you want buyers. Someone who says, yeah, I'm interested enough to listen to you. Let's keep moving forward. And so I love the fact that Dr. Dimitri is so open-minded, that he is curious, that he just wants to know. And if you listen to this conversation, if you listen to the three parts that we had, you can tell that. I know, because I can hear it, where he's just curious. He just really wants to know things and is always open to new ideas and doing new things and supporting people and just being better and better and providing more and more value all the time. All right, 5 minutes in, let's get to some recap here. Beyond that, you know, the biggest thing, and this is the title of the first episode on authenticity, is solve a problem that a company cares about. And why that matters is when you sell and you're helping a company solve a problem, then you're not going to overpromise. You're not going to, oversell things. Your goal, like he says in this, his goal with sales is the truth. And self-selection of salespeople are the salespeople who want to sell from the truth. And it's about knowing that that's the point. And then when you do that, then it's no longer about pitching or being a salesperson, air quotes. It's about being you and being yourself and having authentic conversations. And for him, like he said, his authenticity is about listening. When you're listening to somebody, instead of doing a presentation, which is the gross sales tactics, now you're about discovery, and I'm about active listening, and I'm about being in this with you, and I want to know as much stuff as possible. And like he said towards the end of that first part, my first job is to help you solve a problem. And if you go into it with that, and that's authentically what matters to you, the conversation's going to be totally different. And really, there's so many tactics that people try to layer on and so many things. And, you know, they get caught up in the weeds with the challenger and the spin, and I got to do this and I got to do that and try this closing line and don't forget to pause here and do that. Like, that stuff can matter and be useful, like tools in the toolbox. But you fundamentally have to know what the purpose of what you're doing. And when you do that, and when you have that approach, then it becomes so much simpler. Now, part two, talking about sales process. One of the things with these sales programs is that they have to be somewhat agnostic, because they're preparing people to go out in the world, and there's really no one way to do sales. Now, there's one way to do math. There's basically one way to do chemistry and learn chemistry, right? In a lot of the classic disciplines, and there's one way to do grammar in English, right? There's rules and there's books and you have to follow those rules. In the classic things, there's one way. And this is where a lot of these programs struggle in universities, is because the other professors and the deans don't think it's something you can teach, because they think it's an art done by people who just are good at talking to people and being charismatic, and they don't understand the science of it. Now, the challenge is there's some science at a fundamental level, but you can't necessarily, and I've had many professors on where, you know, I don't necessarily agree. They got to pick something, but I don't think it's the best way, where they teach spin selling or they teach challenger, and that's the main thing that they teach. And those are good tools built on the fundamentals, which I know that schools are teaching. The problem is usually when somebody learns something and they learn it as the first thing, then they think, okay, that's the best way to do it. And they get excited and they love it. Then they go out there in the world and they work for a company that doesn't do spin selling, but spin is what they know. And is that person of the right mindset where they're going to shift and change and go, okay, well, I learned spin, but I'll learn your way instead. And that's always my concern, is what will people think or be stuck to or hold on to? In the same way where, you know, people are, you know, we all are raised by our parents, and then, you know, our parents teach us what they believe, and we either believe it or not. And if you believe what your parents believe, let's say, you know, whether Democrat or Republican or this or that, or, you know, just all of these beliefs and mindsets, then you get out in the world. And if anyone says something different, you have to make a decision. Do I go against what my parents taught me, or do I stick with what they taught me and then everyone else is wrong, or I'm going to challenge everybody, right? And so that's one of those things where there is no right or wrong. It's just about what do you learn, and then when you go out in the world, what do you believe? And so I love the fact that for him and his programs, Dr. Dimitri, he is teaching a simple process. Go through the simple process and then do it enough times where it's, like he said, like learning to ride a bicycle, where it's muscle memory, where you don't have to think about it anymore. You just get on the bike and you go. And then you can do the other things. And it's funny because I don't remember if I said it in the episode, but in that analogy, I'm thinking, okay, you learn to ride a bike. At first, all you can do is just ride the bike and not fall down and get hurt. Then at some point, you become so good at it, it becomes natural that you're now doing a wheelie, you're riding with no hands, you're jumping off the curb, jumping off of ramps, like I'm just thinking of myself as a kid. And then you're adding on those other things, but you still have to have the simple fundamentals in place. So I love that that's what he's teaching. Next year, when we're talking about sales processes, what do buyers want? And they want frictionless. They want seamless transitions, especially if you're going from an SDR to an AE type of escalation model. Is nothing is worse than the SDR asking a bunch of questions, qualifying, and then the AE coming on and then asking the same questions. That is so dumb, and it only can infuriate a potential customer who feels like you don't respect them and their time. You didn't do your research. You didn't do a good handoff. And it's like, if that's how you act now, then you're not going to care about me as a client. And that is true, right? If your process as a sales organization is to not transfer any information and make each layer go through the same painful process of asking similar questions, then I promise once somebody gets onboarded, they're going to have to do it again. And you have a very big silo problem. I promise, if that's what's happening over and over again, you have a silo problem, and you will never scale and be successful with a silo problem. Especially in this day and age where potential customers can choose. They can pick who they want to work with. They view everyone as a commodity. They don't think you're as special as you think you are with your product or solution. You could help them, but they don't see it that way. Right? They see, if you're selling a CRM, they see all the CRMs as basically the same. And you think you're special, they don't. And so you have to do something different. You have to respect them and treat them differently, which is so important. The other part that he was talking about was every time someone buys, they're solving a problem for their organization or for themselves and for themselves. And so what are you doing to help them? What are you doing to help them realize what it will do for them? And what are you up against? You're up against things like change is difficult. People are afraid of change. They're trying to mitigate that, especially if you're doing B2B sales. It's not just their personal sake and their ego that's at risk, but their job, their status in the company, their future, their all kinds of things are at risk. And so you have that you have to mitigate, and not just oversell and not just hope, not just overcome objections, but you truly have to understand all that. And then the last thing that he said in this part two on persuasion and the sales process that was really interesting was talking about selling against an incumbent. It's really hard to do. And a lot of times the best strategy is to build relationships and be present and have them be aware of you and have you on the top of their mind when the incumbent fails. A lot of times you can't switch it. The inertia to change from an incumbent, like let's say somebody already has a CRM and then you want to sell them your CRM, changing CRMs, unless everything is on fire and the CRM is on fire and somebody's made it their mission to change it, like from the top down, they're not going to change it and you're not going to win. And that's going to be a very painful sales cycle. However, giving the value, showing them what it could do for them, and then setting the stage for if you have an issue or when you're ready to change, I'll be here. And then you've got to do that. That requires playing the long game. You have to be willing to plant seeds that you won't get the fruit from for a very long time. Problem is most people have a quota right now in this quarter, and they can't afford that, and they're not thinking long-term, they're thinking short-term, so they're not planting the seeds, they're only hunting, they're not farming, and you know, you have a bad day hunting, a bad month of hunting out in the wild, and you're dead, right? That's it. If you have a bad day, month, or quarter hunting in sales, you're done for, right? You can only have so many bad quarters in sales where until you're done. And so if you know you're in that panic survival mode, you're not planting seeds, not thinking, okay, well, this person might call in 6 months, because you're like, I don't know if I'll be in sales in 6 months, or I might not be at this company in 6 months. And then what happens is when 6 months comes and you're just getting by, you don't have these trees that you could pull fruit from of these deals. And so you've got to find a balance. That's why in my book, I wrote a chapter about hunting and farming. Like, you have to do both. You have to hunt for today, but you have to farm for the future, where, you know, a day comes where you can, you know, walk out of your house, off the porch, go into the garden and pick some food and not have to worry about hunting something for the day, right? And so that's what you want to focus on, the short term and the long term. If you're selling against an incumbent, put that in the long term, set it up, build the relationship, maintain it, put them in some kind of nurturing sequence so you stay top of mind and just let it ride and then just do that over and over again. And at some point, because I've seen this with reps, some point you will come into your quarter with deals that are showing up and your hunting stress is much less. And then you can just get into that mode where you're hunting and farming all the time in the right ratios for you. All right, last bit, let's talk about the future of sales, what he was talking about. The biggest thing is when I asked him, what do buyers want more of or less of? They want more of you helping solve their problem. And they want less of you sending them 10 cold emails and then replying to your own email and saying, just checking in, like that is terrible. Please stop doing that. Right? That automated process, like it just doesn't work. Again, and I've mentioned this many times on the podcast, so is the guest, Dr. Howard Dover's book, The Sales Innovation Paradox, will destroy your thoughts about why you should just set up 10 cold email sequences and just check in and do all that. Please stop doing it. That's the best thing to take away from that. And then the other part that he said when I asked him about the future of salespeople is, I don't know. Depends, right? Like there's so much research being done about the benefits. There's so many ways that AI can speed up the process where, like he was saying, high performers will get more from AI. And I think what's important is that if you see AI and all of these tools right now, like a ChatGPT, as a tool to help you get to the last mile, which is where you then need to be a human, like I talked about last week in the recap of the conversation with Jim Pauley, is that you have to still be a human. So how can you use the tools and the technology available to do all of the automated and augmented things and anything that can be done by a robot that will save you time and effort so that you can then put your focus into the relationships, into the human to human part that matters most, right? And not AI to help you send 10 cold email sequence. No, it's about how to use AI to find out what you need to know before you call that person to see how you can help them, how you can bring value. That's the way to win. And I totally agree with that. So again, make sure you check out the three parts of the episodes from Dr. Dimitri. Solve a problem that the company cares about, starting with a simple sales process and stop checking in, future of sales. So many more things than just the highlights I covered here. Hopefully this helps you. Hopefully you got some nuggets from this. You put some things in place. Maybe you listen to the other three episodes and you use this as a recap and go, okay, yeah, I forgot about that. I'll use that. But no matter what, please take this. Don't just listen to a podcast and then go about your day and hope that anything will be different. You have to intentionally take things from this, make notes, put it somewhere, put it in place, remind yourself every day, try this, don't forget to do this. Don't forget what Jason said about hunting and farming, like make sure to focus on this. Like cover your screen with post-it notes, put things on your desk, like put things in your calendar, reminders that pop up, whatever you've got to do, don't just listen to things and hope that your life will be different or the way that you sell will be different. You have to be intentional. You have to put it in place. Like I tell people all the time, and it's in the intro, the pre-chapter in my book. If you're going to listen to something or read a book and then not do anything with it, what's the point, right? Like it's some motivation for you. Maybe it gets you excited for a minute, but then what's the point, right? Don't turn my book into a shelf help book where you read it once, it goes on the shelf, and that's what it's helping the most, right? Is keep that shelf in place, put things in place and get value and just improve. Even a small percent, right? 1% a day is huge long-term. Just make sure you're getting value from this. And again, as always, thank you for helping fill the world with Authentic Persuader. Go out there and make the best sales you can. Help as many people as possible. And I appreciate you for being here.